This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just wanted to start by saying I'm not Sheikh Abdul Nasser. And usually it's not good etiquette for students to sit in the chair of their teacher, no matter, you know, there's so many students here, mashallah, at the seminary, and we all know the etiquette that when the teacher's chair is marked and reserved for their program, it's not the chair of the student. And I asked them if I could sit in a different way, but they said because of the camera I can't. So please forgive the bad adab. Sheikh Abdul Nasser is traveling this evening, and he asked me to try to do my best, inshallah, to fill in with some reflections. And the good news is that the Qur'an is powerful and so wonderful that even if somebody like myself is reading it, inshallah, we can still definitely find fit. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to open his door for us. Ameen Ya Rab. Tonight's topic in the themes from the lives of the Prophet is the topic of sacrifice. And this topic is really demonstrated by every prophet. Every prophet has been given the task of sacrificing to show their devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to demonstrate as a role model, as a guidance with the message of, you know, Islam or from the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that their job is to demonstrate what it means to sacrifice so that those who follow them can follow in their footsteps. But perhaps there is no prophet that has a story that demonstrates time after time after time in the Quran this sacrifice more than the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The passage that we're going to be reading tonight, inshallah, shortly is from Surah As-Saffat, which is the 37th chapter. And it begins at ayah number 83. And what I want everyone to think about when we talk about some of these verses is what sacrifices have you gone through? What sacrifice ultimately means to you? And what discoveries about yourself have those sacrifices opened up for you? Because all too often it becomes the case that when we think about sacrifice, we think of it as being a waste of time or something worthless or something difficult for the sake of difficulty. But as they say, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And when we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who ordains and the one who grants and the one who withholds and the one who destines and the one who diverts, then we know that every single moment that we experience has some meaning and some purpose. Ibrahim alayhi salam has three sections in this story of different sacrifices. And they are each unique, but they also can connect with each one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. That Ibrahim alayhi salam was one of the individuals who followed the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all prophets in the beginning started in solitude, alone. And this is something that I think a lot of us can relate to, is the feeling of isolation or the feeling of being different, kind of sticking out. This is from the prophetic traits and characteristics. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he identifies this. Then he says, إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. He came to his Lord with a peaceful heart. And here is the first sacrifice that Ibrahim alayhi salam had to make. Whenever somebody is in a state of purity, they don't want to go out and engage with the filth around them. Have you guys ever gotten a car wash before? Who car washed yesterday or the day before? When you get your car washed or when you clean your house or when you, the last thing you want to do is invite any variable that could make that pure thing dirty. And so the safe response, the cautious response for most of us is that on the day that we finish cleaning our house, we're not cooking dinner, we're not having guests, we're all going to go to sleep hungry. On the day that we clean our car, I'm not driving, I'm Ubering if it's raining. Because I want to maintain the purity of the thing that I just cleaned. But when it comes to Allah, and when it comes to the effect of Islam on the heart of a person, there is no option for a person to take the purity of their heart and go and run to the mountains and hide. Otherwise, all of the prophets would have done that. There's no option for people who believe in Allah to take this message and to try to escape into a distilled environment where they don't have to interact with people. You know, many people, they try to create enclaves or situations where they don't have to engage with the world around them. But this is not the methodology of our prophets. They always, alayhim as-salam, engaged with society. They did not let it affect them. They maintained good company. They maintained their principles. They didn't ever waver on what they knew they had to do. But they never went and hid from the responsibilities that they had. And so he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his pure heart. And ultimately, he went to his father and his people. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ He goes and he asks his father and the people immediately surrounding his father, because his father, according to the narrations, was one of the leaders of the tribe. And he says, what is it that you worship? And this is another layer of sacrifice. Whenever we find the ability to give feedback or criticism, we oftentimes avoid the people that are closest to us. It's a little bit uncomfortable to have to talk to your siblings or your children or your spouse or your parents. And really, it's also uncomfortable for all of those people to talk to us. Dealing with correcting people or giving feedback or teaching is always much easier when it's with strangers. I am not nervous at all right now talking in front of you. But if my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, if I see my wife in the crowd, even my children, and they hear me talking about this perfect message, this perfect ideal, then all of a sudden my heart rate goes up. Why? Because we are distinctly programmed to struggle when it comes to giving advice to those who are nearest to us. And this is why the prophets of Allah all began with those who were nearest to them. In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. He does not say save yourselves in your nations, save yourselves in your tribe, save yourselves in your society, save yourselves and your family. Why? Because ultimately the thing that we're responsible for is not my coworkers, my classmates, my colleagues, but my family. Ibrahim alayhi salam instantly first goes to his father and his people, the people surrounding, and says, what do you worship? And then he says, أَإِفْكَنْ أَلْهَةً دُونَ اللَّهِ تُرِيدُونَ Do you have some desire to worship instead, or desire from these false gods, as opposed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Then what then do you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is another layer of sacrifice. Many of us, we expect from Allah, but we don't devote to Allah. We want from Allah, but we don't give to Allah. We call upon Allah, but we don't listen to Allah. And that relationship is imbalanced. If a person distinctly and uniquely wants from only one Allah, their creator, their Lord and sustainer, then they have to first make sure that they've purified all of their devotion, all of their effort, all of their intensity, away from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's calling out now his family, his close friends, his uncles and aunties. I want you to imagine, like, this is the khandan, the dawat crew, that he's sitting now and he's speaking to them. فَنَظَرَ نَظْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ And then he looked up at the skies. فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ And this is another sign, subhanAllah, of his purity of his heart, is that when he saw the situation that these people were immersed in, that they used to worship idols and look to the stars and look to the creation instead of the creator, it really bothered him to the point where he proclaims that he feels ill. You know, how many of us, subhanAllah, when we see something, and this is a thing that Ramadan really recalibrates us with. Ramadan, subhanAllah, it's the most generous guest. It brings gifts to the host. It recalibrates us. Ramadan recalibrates us to make us feel illness at anything that takes us away from Allah. To the point where eating and drinking is normal, eating and drinking is halal, but during the month of Ramadan, during the daylight hours, for those who are qualified, it becomes impermissible. So if you are sitting at home and you have your friends or family and it's daytime and somebody goes and tries to take a bite of food, you literally feel sick. What's wrong with you? You get upset with them. You slap the food out of their hand. Because why? Not because food is bad, but because Allah set down the parameter. That from this day to this day, from this time to this time, there is no eating or drinking during the time that the sun is out. This is the sign of a calibration of the heart of a person. If Allah can take something that we love, like food and drink, and for a specific time of the year, make eating and drinking, which is normal to us, which is beneficial, nutritious, if Allah can make that to us feel uncomfortable, then what does that say about our ability to calibrate our hearts towards Him all the time? That when we see backbiting, when we see lying, when we see injustice, when we see immodesty, when we see these things that are in their essence filthy, no matter what time of year, we should respond by feeling this way. Many of us in Ramadan, we feel shy to watch certain things or listen to certain things or even like certain things. I was walking in the hallway and I saw a young man on Instagram, and I just looked, and I didn't mean to look, but I looked, and he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, sorry." I said, "Why'd you apologize to me?" I said, it's okay. He goes, "No, I know I shouldn't be on it. It's Ramadan." And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, like, as much as this person feels embarrassed, that is a beautiful display of taqwa of the wrong person. He shouldn't have taqwa of me. He should have taqwa of Allah. But the point, and if you're here, I'm just messing with you. But the point being is that can be our state for things that we know are displeasing to Allah all the time. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he engages with the belief system that is so off, that leads to such transgression and oppression, he says what? Inni saqim, I feel sick. I feel sick. I've heard stories of people, subhanAllah, that accidentally drank or they ate some food that was cooked with alcohol, or accidentally, without knowing. From a Sharia perspective, if they didn't know, they didn't know. Or with pork, they didn't know, they didn't know. But they said, verbatim, that when I ate it, even though I thought that it was totally fine, I asked the waiter, waitress, we asked the chef, no problem. They said nothing wrong with it. I felt in my stomach sick. Why? Because the heart of a believer, it transcends everything, and it alerts us when we know that there's something wrong if we keep the heart healthy. May Allah Ta'ala give healthy hearts. And so to continue, because I don't want to take too much time, Ibrahim now goes to the second layer of his sacrifice, which is referenced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when a believer sees something wrong, that it's his responsibility or her responsibility. فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي. It's their responsibility as much as they can to do what they can with their hand, which means that they have to engage with the wrong as much as they can. And so in this story, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he goes to the gods that are being worshipped by his family and by the people around them, and he goes to them and he actually engages with them and he asks, أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ, why don't you eat? Because people would set out food in front of their gods. And he says, مَا لَكُمْ لَا يَنْتِقُونَ, why don't you speak? He's basically now challenging the belief system of these people. And then the story goes that he went to them and he struck them and he broke them with his own hands. When his people came back, we know that from the narration, his people came back, they were furious, they asked what happened. He hung the axe around the biggest one that he left there solitary, and he said, well, what happened? Why don't you ask the one that has the axe around its neck? Maybe it can tell you. And then those people, they came and they internally went inside and said, there's no way that thing could have done all of this. We know what the real reality of the matter is. But Ibrahim alayhi salam had to take that step. And many of us were very comfortable in the land of theory or speculation, in verbalizing something, maybe sharing a post here or there. But how many of us are willing to actually take a step to do what's right or to say what's right in a moment where we're demanded to do so? How many of us are actually willing to stand up and walk out of a room when we know that something in that room is not appropriate for a Muslim to be present? How many of us, we watch a movie and we sit there embarrassed what's on the screen instead of getting up and leaving the theater altogether because we don't want to be there when angels aren't there, right? Or listening to something and knowing that if I'm here, I'm going to be in the presence of shayateen, not the angels. You know, the believer feels the courage to be able to get up and change the environment that they're in, whether it's by their hands or whether it's by their feet, i.e. taking themselves out of the situations. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, he does this. Now when he does this, he is met with a big test. And that is that his people, in ayah number 97, they say that let's build a massive fire. Let's build a massive blaze as a punishment, as an example, and we're going to launch him into this blaze. And this story is told a few different times in different places. And the lesson here, subhanAllah, is this. When you do something for Allah, you're not always going to get a party. I think sometimes we expect the celebration, You know, it's almost like a child. When a child does something good, it's good. But then sometimes they do something good and they come to you and they expect reward. Hey, I cleaned my room. And you're like, good job. And they're just hanging around awkwardly. And you say, what do you need? They're like, I cleaned my room. And you're like, good, you're supposed to. And they said, there's another side to this. Where's my chocolate? Where's my present? Where's my gift? Where's my this? Where's my that? The expectation shows that the sincerity was not there. And so when we sacrifice for Allah, one of the tests that's embedded in the sacrifice is that at the end of that sacrifice is another situation that demands more sacrifice. Almost to say, okay, you passed the first round. You did your first set. Now what about the second one? And then after the second one, what about the third one? And eventually you'll come to a point where you will have cleared off any confusion, any gray space, any sort of possibility, vague opening, that my sacrifice was not sincere, because Allah repeatedly put you in situations where you had to sacrifice over and over again. And so after doing all of this, after standing up to his people, after physically rebuking what they did, after, you know, basically outcasting himself from the society he was in, he's now being thrown into a blaze. And the narration tells us in Ibn Kathir that when this happened, as he's launched into the air, it's a beautiful story, we don't have too much time, but as he's launched into the air, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands time to slow down and sends Angel Jibreel alayhi salam to go and speak to him. And Angel Jibreel comes and says, do you have anything that you need? In the middle of the air as he's heading to the fire. Many of you have probably heard this before, but it's so powerful. Ibrahim alayhi salam responds to Jibreel and he says, from you? No, I'm okay. But from Allah, he is the one that I rely on and he will always take care of me. Again, in that moment of sacrifice, there will always be people around you, even good intentioned, that will ask you and they'll say, are you sure? Do you really want to go this far? Do you really want to do this? And in that moment, to show to yourself and to Allah that really it's not about anybody else, and this is what Ramadan gives us, to show that it's not about anybody else, you might actually even have to go the length of what you may have never imagined would be difficult for you in order to establish that pure ikhlas in the heart of a person. May Allah Ta'ala give us the strength to do so when the time calls upon it. But now where's the reward? And this is where the story, it takes us to a very beautiful place. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala, he says that these people, they plotted against him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately made them from al-asfaleen, that he made them from those people that were inferior, meaning that Ibrahim came out on top, as we say in English. Then he says, قَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينِي. That he says, I'm going to go to my Lord and he will guide me. I don't know how many of you in this room have ever felt like you've been at a fork in the road and you didn't know which way was the right way. Or you had a decision to make and you were truly unsure what was the right path to take. Ibrahim a.s. demonstrates to us here a beautiful principle, which is that you may not know exactly where or exactly how, but you always know the what and the why. You always know the what. The what is, I have to get out of this situation. The why, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to. Where will he take me? I don't know. How will he get me there? I don't know. But my trust in him at that moment is more important than the details that I think are going to distract me from this moment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards people. And this happened to all of the prophets. How many of them, when you read their stories, you find that there was a point where Allah took them to the edge of certainty, all the way to the edge. Think of the Prophet after Ta'if. What does he say to Allah? إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلْنِي. He doesn't even know. Like at this point, Ya Allah, who's in charge of me? What's going on? Not doubting Allah, but asking, where do I go from here? But then he says what? As long as you are not mad with me, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ غَضِبَ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. Oh Allah, I actually don't need to know where you're going to take me. I don't need to know how I'm going to get there. All I need to know is that I'm going to be close to you. And if that's the case, that's all that I care about. May Allah Ta'ala give us the sincerity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him his reward and tells us about it. He stands there and he says, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Oh Allah, give me the gift of righteous offspring. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. Allah Ta'ala gave him the news of a good son. And this is an understatement, a good son. I don't want fathers and mothers to look at their children right now. Ismail alayhi salam, the story of Ismail, his compassion, his patience, his love of his father, his obedience. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعِيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. And then the ultimate test now. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he will test you in the beginning with things that you don't like. It's easy to pass those tests because you don't like them. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. You know, there's people that come to me and say, I have to leave my job for Allah. It's good. They're like, yeah, I hated it. Okay, well, that's, you know, at that point, it's, but what about something that you really love? How hard is it? How hard is it to give up the thing that you love? To leave the person that you love? To back out of the plan that you love? To pull your money out of the investment that you love? How hard is it when you actually absolutely love something? He just made dua and has been making dua for Allah Ta'ala to give him a son. He receives the son. Not only is it any son, bi ghulam al-halim, it's a beautiful, forbearing son. Anyone in here who has kids, you know, patience is like the most beautiful word. And then Allah Ta'ala commands him through a dream where he says, I saw you, yet my son, anni azbahuka, that I have to slaughter you. Fanzur ma dha tara. I always thought this was an interesting line, subhanAllah. He's a prophet of God. There is no choice when he receives revelation. But he asks his son in that moment, tell me what you think. Ismail technically here has no choice. There is no, I think this, I think that. But Ibrahim wants to demonstrate to his son that no matter what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us, I'm going to obey, but part of that obedience is also that I have to be a good father. And being a good father means that I want to know how you feel about this. And his son, subhanallah, he impresses him. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Even though the next sacrifice is coming and the test is coming, what does Allah gift Ibrahim with? Think of this. Allah gifts Ibrahim with the gift of a son and a relationship with their father that he himself never had. He never had this relationship with his own dad. In fact, his relationship with his father was pretty horrible. And so you can imagine, after having to go through that, and after still being upright and principled and a good dad, what sweeter words could he have heard in that moment than the words that he even referred to with his father? In the Quran, earlier, he refers to his dad. Ibrahim says, Ya Abati, oh my dear dad. So now he's in the position of a father and he's looking at his son, and his son says, Ya Abati. You don't think that those words echoed in his heart for a moment? That he realized that Allah gifted me with the relationship that I myself could never have. Look at how generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He says, Satajiduni insha'allahu mina sabirin. Then Allah ta'ala continues and says that when they submitted to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turned his face away. And then at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded that Ibrahim would be called out. That he says, Ya Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, you have completed and fulfilled the vision. You have succeeded in the test. And because of that, we will reward you as a doer from the Muhsineen. And then he says that this was the test. This was the ultimate test that revealed al-Bala al-Mubin. This was the test that revealed really who Ibrahim alayhi salam was. The story goes on, but I'll wrap up here with one last point, which is that sacrifice is the ultimate means of clarity of the heart of a believer. When Allah Ta'ala wants us to show ourselves and Him of our state with Him, Allah Ta'ala puts us in situations where we have to make a choice between A and B. And in that moment, it's not a punishment, it's not a consequence, it's not Allah making your life difficult, nor is it a burden. It's an opportunity for us to demonstrate our love for Allah, our devotion to Him, and ultimately our trust in Him. Throughout the entire way, Ibrahim never lost faith that Allah would be there for him. And because of that moment, when Ibrahim left his town alone in solitude, he did not know at that moment that he would become the great-grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that on the Day of Judgment, even though he left his people alone, he will be greeted by the billions and billions of worshippers that are the followers of the answer to his prayer, who ended up becoming the greatest human being of all time, the last prophet to mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you sacrifice for Allah, Allah gives you and rewards you in ways that outlive your own existence. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to sacrifice for His sake. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to hear His words and to follow and to change ourselves, especially in this month of Ramadan, the month of sacrifice. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.